In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of all saints, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. So we're going to have fun this time. The camera keeps on going on and off. My other computer here is really having fun. This is Holy Week, so again, God's getting us ready for this Good Friday, this wonderful day of prayer, fasting, penance, conversion, this 40 days of prayer, of remembering his crucifixion, death, and resurrection. And this is what our Lord is asking. He's asking us to give our fiat to all that's happening. So here it goes. There we go. All right. So we're continuing with volume 23, December 8th, 1927. My daughter, Louisa, the Immaculate Mary was the little light of the human stock because the human earth was her origin. However, Our Lady was always daughter of the light, and no stain entered into this divine light of Mary. Theotokos, the mother of God. She is the one that we constantly go to, we constantly are asking for this new beginning that Our Lady has really brought to the earth because of who she is. And good things are happening, glorious things are happening, and our God wants us to recognize that in these difficult moments, we have the Blessed Mother to go to. And listen to what he says. Our Lady, the Immaculate Mary, was the little light. Sorry about that. The little light of the human stock, but of the human earth was her origin. However, she was always daughter of the light, and there's no stain, no sin ever entered into this light. So again, our God is asking us to recognize this new Eve. There was no fall. With Our Lady. And our Lord is asking us to always begin to enter this life of the Blessed Mother. We're playing basketball here, tennis, golf. This light of Mary is to help us let go of the darkness that we're in, the darkness of the human will. And we remember Jesus crucified this week during this Holy Week. We remember him shedding every drop of his blood. And during the consecration, this is one thing that you can remember. When the priest holds the host up, and the priest is basically saying to the Father, this is your son. He was crucified. He shed every drop of his blood. He died on the cross. And he's asking us, we're asking the Father to now sanctify the world. When the priest holds up the chalice, here is the precious blood of Jesus. Every drop of his blood was shed so that we could be redeemed. And now we beg God, now bring this sanctification, bring this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit upon the earth. So during the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass, this is essential that we let go of everything that we've been thinking of before. Everything has led us to this point, so that the kingdom can be established on earth. I don't know what's wrong with this thing. On earth as it is in heaven. So again, but do you know where all Our Lady's greatness is? Who gave her sovereignty? Who formed the seas of divine light, seas of divine sanctity, seas of divine grace, seas of divine love? See these oceans of beauty, oceans of power inside and outside of her. He says, my daughter, what is human does not know how to do great things. So when I hear people say, I'm doing my acts in the divine will, I'm doing divine things. No, you're not. Listen to what Jesus says. My daughter, what is human does not know how to do great things, nor how to give great things. Okay. What the Lord is asking us to do is to let him, the Lord God Almighty, really begin to reign in us to the point that The kingdom is established on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus is doing this. Jesus, beat in my heart beating, breathe in my breathing, walk in my walking. You know, I want you, Lord, to be the Lord of my life. I don't want to be the Lord of my life anymore. I don't want to be in charge. I don't want my human will to be in charge anymore. I want your divine will to be in charge. So Jesus says, and again, this is very important. The human does not know how to do great things, nor how to give great things. So the celestial queen would have remained the little light had Our Lady not put her human will as though aside, which was the little light. And had Our Lady not let herself be invested by my divine will, dissolving her little light in the divine will, which is not little light, but endless sun that investing Our Lady completely formed these oceans, these seas of light around Our Lady, these oceans, these seas of light, seas of grace, seas of sanctity, embellishing Our Lady so much as to render the Blessed Mother all beautiful with all shades of divine beauties, such as to enamor God who created her. God goes in ecstasy when he sees the Blessed Mother. Why? He sees the reflection of himself. He sees this light of himself. It's when Our Lady appeared to Bruno in 1947, she said, I am the daughter of the Father, the mother of the Son, the spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit. So we see that when we look at Mary, we see the reflection of God in Mary. That's why when she appears all over the world, she appears in different costumes, if you want to say, you know, Our Lady of Mount Carmel, Our Lady of La Salette. We see this, how spectacular she is. She's not, this isn't ordinary. It's extraordinary. And this is what Jesus says. He says, this endless light that she is in, invests her completely and forms these oceans of light, oceans of grace, oceans of sanctity, embellishing Our Lady so much as to render her all divinely beautiful. See, that's what God is going to do with us. He says, what I'm going to do with my children is make each and every one of my children a divine masterpiece. That's God's plan. So think about it. Where we are now in the human, we could be good and holy and saintly if we really work at it. But Jesus says, I want you to share in divinity. So what does he show us? He shows us Our Lady. Now, these writings here, you can find in the Prodigies of the Blessed Mother. When you read the Prodigies of who Our Lady is, my goodness, she is. Listen to what God is saying. Jesus is saying, he says, this, she's not a little light anymore when she dissolved her human will in the divine. And that's what the priest says every day at Holy Mass, putting the drop of water into the chalice. May we share in the divinity of Christ. This is how Our Lady began, being in that new and divine way of holiness that Pope St. John Paul talked about, this new and divine way of holiness that Our Lady is asking us to enter into, the Holy Father is asking us to enter into. This is what happens. So what happened to Our Lady, this endless sun, investing her completely, forming seas of light around her, oceans of grace, oceans of sanctity, embellishing her so much as to render her divinely beautiful with all shades of the divine beauties, such as to enamor God who created her. He sees his reflection, image and likeness in Our Lady. So that's what God is doing. He's asking us to get ready for this new and abundant life that he's going to do with us. What we're reading about Our Lady, this is why the celebration of August 15th is the Feast of the Divine Will, where Our Lady has gone. We soon hope to follow. And I mean soon because everything's going to change. The world is going to change. The church is going to be more beautiful than ever before. The world is going to, God is going to bring about this breath of God, this rule of God on the earth, which we haven't seen anything yet. What God is going to bring about is going to astonish humanity. what our God has got planned. When you think of the best thing possible, think of the best thing possible on earth. It can't compare to what's really coming. What's the greatest day that you ever had on earth? Can't compare to what's coming. That would be a drop in the bucket compared to the ocean. What's coming upon the earth, and this is why our Lord is trying to help us understand, we let go of the things of the world, the flesh, the devil. We embrace this divine attitude, this divine life, this divine light. Our God is inviting us to this. And so when we pray with Our Lady in this endless light, pray with our Lord in this endless light. So it says, her Immaculate the Conception, although beautiful and pure, now this is important to know, was always a little light. Her Immaculate Conception, beautiful and pure, was always this little light. It would have been neither the power nor the sufficient light to be able to form this ocean of light, ocean of sanctity. Jesus says, if our divine will had not invested this little light of the Immaculate Conception in order to convert it into sun. That's what God has planned for us. We have been baptized in God's image. And now Jesus says, I want you to enter into the likeness of God. This likeness of God is so magnificent. This likeness of God is so beautiful that our Lord is asking us, pleading with us to let go of any loves of the earth. Now, that doesn't mean you break up with your spouse. You don't break up with your children. But this, he says, what I've got planned for you is not human. All that we know is the human. We don't know anything more than the human. Think about the study that we do to become a specialist in something, music, in art, in anything that you're doing. You focus on this, you train, you go through your whole life understanding how to accomplish something even better than before. What's coming is divine. And Jesus says, what was breathed into Adam was the science of sciences. He could look at a plant, he could look at an animal, and he knew why God created this and why it was important for us to have these plants and animals around us. He says, I did this so that mankind can begin to breathe in this divine I love you that's all around us. That's why when we pray the rounds of creation, it's so magnificent. The rounds of creation are, it's our life, reflection of our life all around us. The I love yous of God in creation, the I love yous of God in redemption, the I love yous of God now in sanctification. What is sanctification? It's to grab these I love yous of creation, look at them and say, I love you too. You breathed in this divine I love you. Now I want to breathe this divine I love you back to you. That's why Jesus in us is doing that. Jesus is doing the divine act in us. Image and likeness of God, reflection of God, mirror of God, a living in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit, the receiving the divine inheritance of the Father. This is what's, we're responding back to God, and we are becoming more and more in God's likeness. So what does Scripture say? What we are now is children of God. What we are going to become, we do not know. But what we do know is we are going to become like him because we will see him as he is. So great things are right around the corner. Don't be a doom and gloomer. Don't be worried, fearful, anxious, complaining, and negative. That's the fallen human nature. That's not the life of Jesus. That's not the life of Mary. When we go through the 24 hours of the Passion, you see very clearly Jesus, when they lied about him, when they slapped him, spit upon him, when they beat him, when they crowned him with thorns, he said nothing. He knew why he was here. He was here to take our place. And he wanted to die on the cross. I mentioned this once before. I was listening to a homily once where this priest says, Jesus didn't want to die. He was afraid of death as you and I are afraid of death. Not true. When he says, Father, if I have to drink this cup, let it be done as you say. I don't want to go through this. What was he talking about? He explains that to Louisa. He says to Louisa, I saw that there would be people who would reject my crucifixion, death, and resurrection. And he says, and they were going to be lost eternally. This was, he said, I can't take this. I don't want to see anyone not get to heaven. So so it explains to us, Jesus came to earth to die. He came to earth to be crucified. This is why we call Good Friday good. It is good that Jesus has done this. This is why we honor Christ crucified. As Paul says, we preach a Christ crucified. It's to see him on his throne, to see him with his crown, to see him covered with his precious blood. And we pray that every night. We pray every night that Jesus wash us with his precious blood, wash our soul with his precious blood. This is what's essential. We want to be washed physically, spiritually, mentally, emotionally, body, blood, soul, and divinity. We want Jesus' body, blood, soul, and divinity to wash us clean. What does that mean? That means to enter into this image and likeness of Jesus and Mary, the new Adam and the new Eve. So this dissolving had to take place. So he says this. He says, her immaculate conception, though beautiful and pure, was always a little light that would neither have the power nor the sufficient light to be able to form these oceans of light of sanctity if our divine will had not invested that little light. Now, our little light is our baptism. God wants to convert that into a sun. If the little light, which was the will of the celestial mother, had not contented itself with becoming dissolved, that drop of water into this cup filled with wine, may we share in the divinity of Christ. He says the divine fiat to be dissolved in the son of the divine fiat, to let itself be dominated by this divine light. So our Lord is saying, we've begun this little light, this now we're not any longer the image of Adam. We're not the children of Adam. We now become the children of God. So this little light has begun, this fuse, if you want to say, has begun. And now Jesus is saying, I'm going to teach you how and why you have to begin to live in this abundant life. How and why our God has planned for us to be alive at this time. So he says, this was the greatest portent. This was the kingdom of my divine will in the Blessed Mother. With it, everything Our Lady did became divine light. Now think about when she appears to the children, like at Fatima, this light is there. This divine light is there. And they, what did the children say? It was more brilliant than the sun, but it didn't bother their eyes. This is what did. Everything Our Lady did became light. Our Lady nourished herself with this divine light. Nothing came out of Our Lady that was not divine light, because Our Lady had the sun of my most holy divine will in her power. That's Theotokos, Mother of God, which was such that she could not draw from it as much light as she wanted to draw. Our Lady is the one. We see the miraculous medal. One hand is light coming from it. The other hand, her garment folds over, and it's the grace that humanity doesn't want. So what do? We say, I don't want anything to go wasted. I'll take anything that nobody wants. This time that we're alive right now is a time to make our Lord, our King, our Savior, our God, happy that nothing is going to waste. Even with the light, the grace that goes through Our Lady to humanity, we want nothing wasted. We say, I will take everything that nobody wants. I want nothing to be wasted. And so going back to what Jesus did with the bread, when he made, you know, fed the 5,000, he says, collect everything, teaching us not to waste. Teaching us not to waste. If we're wasting food, we're going to have to pay for that. Okay, why? Jesus says, collect everything that nothing goes to waste. There are people on earth at this time that are starving. And so we have to be, that's one of the reasons I don't like going out to dinner. There's so much food, and I've worked in restaurants, and I see so much food wasted, thrown into the garbage. Our job is to listen to Jesus, learn from Jesus, and follow Jesus. So what does he say? He says very clearly, collect everything so that nothing goes to waste. So when you cook, cook what you need, no more, and don't waste it. If you have something in the refrigerator, make sure that it doesn't rot. Be attentive to what's around you. I mean, this is what our God, again, no one on earth should be starving. Nobody on earth should be starving. Everyone has enough to help someone else. And again, when you read sacred scripture of Lazarus and the beggar, Lazarus had everything, and the beggar ate the scraps that were thrown away. And then at the end, Lazarus couldn't get into the kingdom. Why? He didn't care for the hungry. Now, it doesn't mean that the whole focus of the church is the poor. Some people make the helping people more important than going to God. So when we look at Mother Teresa, what do we see? She spent 5 hours in front of the Blessed Sacrament, adoring God, loving God, praising God, thanking God, glorifying God, and then 5 hours on the street, bringing in those that were impoverished. She had everything in order. So if we become social workers, you can pay anybody to do that, but what God is asking is that we spend time with him first. This is the life of Our Lady. She knew when she went to the temple, she was taught by the priests. She knew sacred scripture. When Jesus was born, she would basically teach Jesus sacred scripture. And it was like his joy to hear his mother know sacred scripture. Love sacred scripture, teaching him sacred scripture. It's the same thing for us today. Our whole life is based on sacred scripture, the tradition of the church, our dogma and doctrine. So this is why Jesus gave us the Book of Heaven. He has given us the Book of Heaven so that we can begin to live this true life that inspired by the Holy Spirit. And now with the Book of Heaven, we're hearing directly from Jesus, directly from Mary. Who could say this about Mary today? Jesus and Jesus alone. And that's what he says. I, as her son, am the only one that can tell you how beautiful, how perfect my mother is because of what God has done and how she has said fiat. So again, this is what Jesus is saying. He says, and since the property of light is to diffuse itself, to dominate, to fundicate, to illuminate, to warm, this is why the height of the Sovereign Queen with the Son of my divine will that she possessed, diffused herself in God and dominating God. See, God is, you see the humility of God. You know, he wants, like, what does he do? He wanted to be held by his mother. He wanted to be nursed by his mother. And this is why for Christmas, everyone should have a baby Jesus, not just a little baby Jesus, but a real baby Jesus, not a real, but you know, life-size baby Jesus. Why? To hold him. And Jesus said to Louisa, when you venerate the cross, when you venerate the cross, when you venerate the baby Jesus, he says, I will accept it as if you are actually kissing me. That's why Good Friday, we venerate the cross three times, kissing the cross three times. It's to say to the Lord, thank you for this Good Friday. Thank you for shedding every drop of your blood. Thank you for dying, taking my place. It's to begin to let God recognize that we understand what he's saying to us. It's not that crucifix is Jesus. It's not that the baby Jesus is this is Jesus, but he says, at this point, you can't see me. So your desire, your longing to be with me, he says, I will accept it as you're actually kissing me. In each of our homes, we have images of Jesus. They should be venerated. It's to say, I wish, you know, I could be with you. See, Jesus says, I am returning for those who long for my return. If we're not longing for his return, we're not ready for Jesus. We should be one with Jesus continuously. I had one person in the prayer group once say to me, you know, you act as if Jesus is coming back tomorrow. And I said, I certainly hope he does. Jesus says, who is longing for me? Who wants me? It's the same thing with the Blessed Mother. This is what he says. With the Son of my divine will that she possessed, she diffused herself in God and dominating God, swayed God to descend upon earth. She became fecund of the eternal word. And she illuminated and warmed mankind because of her longing for Jesus, longing for God, the Redeemer, the Messiah. Now we are longing for this great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This is why we're alive today. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Who is the one who's going to help bring this about? The spouse and temple of the Holy Spirit, Our Lady. Jesus wants this done, but he says, I put it in your hands with the Our Father. When we pray the Our Father, may your kingdom come on earth, this dust as it is in heaven. Jesus says, that's what I'm waiting for. I'm waiting for souls to begin to live this abundant life. So this week is a very important week for all of us with the Triduum. It's a very important time. For many, this will be the last Holy Week. For many, this will be the last Easter. And it's not because of anything but the time that we're living in. And we have to remember, Jesus said to Louisa, we're not here one moment longer or one moment shorter than what I, God, have planned. So he knows what's coming. And if we're attentive to what is all around us at this point, we know that it's going to be very, very difficult. And it's not doom and gloom. It's the death is the door to the Trinity. And as this life ends, we enter. Now we're born into this abundant life. I remember many, many people have said to me, you know, as they were dying, they said, Jesus told me that I would be alive when he returns. Why am I dying? And interesting, they will be alive. You have to understand this life that we're in is coming to an end. It's not the end of the world. It's the end of this limited slavery to our human will. That's going to change. What is coming is the kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. And the saints have said that the bride of Christ must be crucified with Christ, must go to Calvary with Christ. That the saints have always said this. When you look at what's happening worldwide, it's going to be tough, but there's nothing to be afraid of. We were born for this time. And this is why I really believe Jesus is telling us very, very clearly that he wants us to begin to recognize the true life of the new Adam and of the new Eve. So again, this is what he says. He says very, very clearly, what Our Lady is doing with us, what Our Lady is teaching us in the divine will, it's Jesus and Mary teaching. Jesus as the new Adam, Mary as the new Eve. Listen to what he's calling us to. The property of light is to diffuse itself, to dominate, to fundicate, to illuminate, to warm. This is why the height of Our Lady, the Sovereign Queen, with the Son of my divine will that she possessed, diffused herself in God, dominating God. So what did Jesus teach Louisa? Jesus taught Louisa to begin to follow his life and Our Lady's life. This is what's supposed to happen to us. We're to enter into this light, this love, this life of God, to participate in this property of light, to dominate this light. How do you dominate it, the light? By fiat. Let it be done as you say. Total surrender, total docility, total submission. Let's look at each of our lives. Each and every one of us, we're at this point where in total surrender, total docility, total submission, it's not exactly what we thought was going to happen. It's better than that. And we have to understand that what God is calling us to is what the saints have said, that the children of God, the bride of Christ, has to be crucified with Christ. And this crucifixion really begins with our eyes to watch Jesus die, to listen to Jesus die. That's why I said, if you haven't seen the movie The Passion of the Christ by Mel Gibson, if you haven't watched it this Lent, watch it this week. Don't turn away. I know how many people say, oh, I can't watch it. It's too hard. Jesus wanted his mother to watch the real thing. He wanted his mother there with him, watching him die. It's important. We have to see how much he loved us. Oh, I can't watch it. It's too hard for me. Our Lady did it. John did it. Mary Magdalene did it. They even called Louisa out in time and space to come to be with Jesus crucified, to watch him die on Calvary. When you read the Book of Heaven, when you read the 24 Hours of the Passion, Louisa is witnessing it. It's important that we participate in watching Jesus die. I have a life-size crucifix in my chapel, and I've had people come in and go, take that down. He's suffered enough. You don't have to have him crucified. And I went, this is the glory of God. This is the power of God. This is the strength of God. This is the wisdom of God, Christ crucified. His throne, he is on his throne. This is his throne, the cross. This is his crown, thorns. And then when you really read, the thorns weren't just some dainty little thing that, was on his head. It went through his skin, into his eyes, into his ears, into his neck. We have to understand this. Our Lady, right from the beginning, went with Simeon. Our Lady said, Simeon said, your heart is going to be split in two, so that the thoughts of many will be laid bare. What does that mean? Where are our thoughts with Jesus? Do we love him enough to watch him die? That's, do we love him enough, or are we too sensitive? snowflakes. Now it's to again be with Our Lady. Look what Jesus says about Our Lady. He says she possessed this divine light, this divine love, this divine life, and God called her to watch him die. It's the same thing for us. If we do not meditate on Christ crucified, if we do not meditate on Christ crucified, we're not going to spend a minute in front of the Blessed Sacrament. Oh, we're too busy. I know it's. And the other thing too, we find out when we're in front of the Blessed Sacrament that we don't love our Lord as much as he is calling us to love him. You know, that's why these 15 minutes, break up the hour into 15 minutes of adoring him and being contrite, sorry for your sins, thanking God for all that he has done, and supplication, petition. Break it up into 15 minutes. And if you can't think of 30 things each 15 minutes or 30 seconds, that's where we are. We don't love God for what he has done. He's created us. He has redeemed us. And now the time to sanctify us. That's where we are. What's coming is the sanctification of humanity. What's coming is the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. So our Lord is asking us to be with him. I mean, if we say we want to be with him for eternity and can't spend an hour with him each day, I really don't know if that's possible. He says, I'm returning for those who long for me. So the more that we read about Our Lady, the more that we listen to what Jesus taught Louisa, the more we enter into this life that of the divine will, being that drop of nothing, entering into the cup filled with wine, fusing to diffusing and becoming wine, sharing in divinity. And again, it's what you're learning, what you're studying, think of the weightlifters. My cousin was, he came in second in Australia, bodybuilding. And I said, you spend all this time doing this for your body that's going to be food for worms. It's like what we have to do is we have to enter into dying to our ego and our will, dying to that which is human, to enter into the divine. And again, what happens is when God has given you the book of heaven, when you're reading, when you're studying, he begins to eliminate people around you. Why? Your focus is God. And what happens is people want you to recognize them. Because when they talk, it's always about themselves. I did this and I did that. I learned this and I did. No, it's the divine will is focusing on Jesus and Mary through this little newborn, Louisa. Our life has to be God. And God goes, are you serious? And when we say, yes, I'm serious, God goes, good. Okay, I'll take this away from you. And then I'll take that away from you. And then I'll take this away and this way. And the great thing about that is he strips us of everything so that there's nothing human. Why is he doing this? It's you become that drop of nothing, entering into the cup filled with wine. The drop of water becomes wine. The drop of nothing shares in divinity. That's what God is doing with us. Let him do it. He's planned this from the beginning of time. He's God. He's got it all planned. So the more that we let go of the things of the earth, and that means no worry, no fear, no anxiety, no complaints, no negativity, to the point of no sin. When we get into this new and divine way of holiness that John Paul II has talked about, prophesied about, we begin. It's just the first step of what God is going to do for all eternity. And that's why he wants us to look at his mother. He wants us to see the one because of her, because of her fiat, we have been redeemed. Because of Luisa's fiat, we're now going to be sanctified. We haven't seen anything yet. This great outpouring of the Holy Spirit that's going to come upon the earth is very, very, very close. Very close. And this illumination of conscience that's coming, everybody goes, well, what is it going to be like? If you have the book of heaven, if you're reading the book of heaven, the illumination of conscience is God is going to show us what this book is about. Sanctification. None of the saints told us about this because they weren't given it. Jesus is now asking us, would you want to enter into this abundant life? And we go, yes. God goes, good. Here's the book of heaven. What are you going to do with it? Here's the 24 hours of the passion. What are you going to do with it? Now, what we normally do on Good Friday is we start at 9 o'clock in the morning and we read for 50 minutes, take 10 minutes off, read for 50 minutes, take 10 minutes off, every hour on the hour. So from 9 o'clock till 2 o'clock, you've basically read one from 5 o'clock at night to 3 o'clock in the afternoon. That's basically what you've read. Then we have the religious service, the Good Friday service. And then after that, we finish with 3 o'clock and 4 o'clock hour. So mostly it's like the 4 o'clock hour. We've gotten to that point at 2 o'clock. It's not difficult. And what we do is we read one paragraph. Each person in the room reads one paragraph. And if you don't want to read, you just poke the guy next to you. You read, you know. And what happens is you are there. See, Jesus is showing us how to be with him, how to be with him. And he is leading. He is guiding through little Luisa. Remember, scripture says we'll be led by a little one. Well, I really believe that little one is Luisa. This new and abundant life that was breathed into Our Lady. She's the first daughter of the divine will. And now the little daughter of the divine will now breathed into Luisa, a human born of original sin. Not Theotokos, not the mother of God who was the Immaculate Conception. The Immaculate Conception. Now one born of original sin. Why? This is ours if we want. It's ours. That's why as you read the book of heaven, study the book of heaven, as you continue to enter into this abundant life, you're not the same anymore. You can't be the same anymore. Jesus is talking to you. Mary is talking to you through this little newborn Luisa. This is a very important week. It's the Holy Week. The only time the church says this is the Holy Week. This is why the only Good Friday is coming up. Why? To get ready for Easter, to get ready for the resurrection of Jesus. The resurrection, where Jesus says, I rose from the dead. This is what he says. I rose from the dead so that you will rise from your human will. I rose from the dead so that you no longer live in your misery anymore. And he says, I want you, this is what he tells Luisa, to begin to live this resurrected life. He says, because if you wait for it after you die, you're going to spend a long time in purgatory to get ready for it. He wants us to get ready for it now. So we'll end with a prayer. May the blood that flowed upon the wood of this cross free us from our human will, that we live in God's holy divine will always. We ask this in Jesus' name, under the mantle of Mary, through the intercession of Luisa, and we pray that this prayer becomes God's command. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. God bless you. Have a happy Holy Week and a glorious Easter.